end of that one, so it's because we already were, right? And Steve said, just keep it going. We got the idea on that. Several years ago, Max Lucado wrote this piece about his father. I thought it was appropriate to share today. Today is Father's Day. For 31 years, I had one of the best, but now he's gone. He's buried under an oak tree in a West Texas cemetery. Even though he's gone, his presence is very near, especially today. It seems strange that he isn't here. I guess that's because he was never gone. He was always close by, always available, always present. His words were nothing novel. His achievements, though admirable, were nothing extraordinary. But his presence was. Summer vacation, homecoming dates, algebra, first car, driveway, basketball. They all had one thing in common, my father's presence. And because he was there, life went smoothly. The car always ran, the bills got paid, the lawn stayed mowed. Because he was there, the laughter was fresh and the future was secure. Because he was there, my growing up was what God intended it to be. Because he was there, we kids never worried about things like income tax, savings accounts, monthly bills, or mortgages. Those were the things on Daddy's desk. He made the decisions. He broke up the fights. He chuckled at Archie Bunker. He read the paper every evening, and he fixed breakfast on Sundays. He didn't do anything unusual. He only did what dads are supposed to do, be there. He taught me how to shave and how to pray. He modeled the importance of getting up early and staying out of debt. He comes to mind often. When I smell Old Spice aftershave, I think of him. When I see a bass boat, I see his face. Daddy never said a word to me about sex, nor told me his life story, but I knew that if I ever needed to know, he would tell me. All I had to do was ask, and I knew if I needed him, he'd be there. Well, as I was reading that piece, I was thinking, you know, that really is what us as dads want. We want to be there. And this morning, we're going to hear from four dads who not only desire to be there, but they desire to be the best dads that they can be. And they need our encouragement to be those dads, as all dads do. So we did a panel similar to the one that we're going to do today. We did it on Mother's Day with four mothers. And so not to be outdone by that, or put a different way, we just want to benefit again in the same way. We have these four special dads. So guys, come on up and introduce you to everybody. William Yo's here today, and Andrew Hill, Brad Cole, and Scott Rikimaru are all going to be a part of our panel this morning. So we've got a chair up here for each one of you guys and a microphone. So come on up and make yourself at home for the next few minutes, and we'll have some fun with this. Now, we could have picked anybody, but it worked out to be these guys, and so, you know, I'm glad they answered their email. William, why don't we start with you? We'll just go down the line, and you guys can introduce yourself to everybody. That would be great.
So my name is William.
Let's use this. Okay, you got to put that right there. Okay.
My name is William, and my wife's Melissa, and she's somewhere over there. We have two boys. The picture is up. The older one, Daryl, is 13 on the right-hand side, and Ashwin is 10.
Great. Thank you, William. Andrew?
My name is Andrew Hill. My wife is Mary Kay. We have two kids, Maylin, who is 10, and Tyler, who's 9.
Awesome. There you are. Brad?
My name is Brad Cole. My wife's Christy, and you can see that there's a few of us. Amy and Megan are our daughters, and in the picture here, Derek is our son-in-law, and that's our grandson, Colton. I thought about as introducing this, I should say a little more about the fact that Derek was a former student ministries pastor here, and our kids were born, saved, baptized, and one of them was married in this church. So,
wow.
My wife's been here since 69. I've been here since 78 when we got married 35 years ago. So now you can tell I'm probably the old guy up here. And we've been involved in about every ministry possible. We were reminiscing this week about what are the things we've done at the church in 35 years, and from kids to adults, and I'm one of the elders.
Awesome. Great.
Hi, Scott Riccimaro, and I have my wife, Susan, and I also have three boys. Susan's a saint. My boys are, I got two in college. Jonathan's a sophomore, just finished his second year at Santa Barbara. Matthew just finished his first year at APU, Azusa Pacific. And then Brian is a, will be a senior next year here at Fremont High School.
Yeah. Well, this is good. So now you know a little bit about each one. You can hear and see that they're at different life stages, raising children, and there are a number of different needs that they could have. Things that we can do to be an encouragement to these dads and to other dads. Everybody knows a dad. If you don't know one, look down the row. There's probably a dad there or the row behind you, and you could be an encouragement to that dad. But there are a number of things, obviously, that dads need. I wrote down things such as he needs coffee in bed. That would be a way to encourage a dad. He needs something to fix, you know, show him that. Chrome on his Harley, maybe a new toolkit, a fishing trip, a good golf score. That would be amazing. A new hat to go along with his other 40 hats that are sitting in the closet, you know, doing nothing. He maybe would like to go to an action movie, not one of those crybaby movies. So there are a lot of things that we could say a dad needs. But what we did was a few weeks ago, we had a man day, and we decided to survey the men that were there. There were about 65, 70 men at this event. We really had a good day together. But as a part of the breakfast, we just said, give us your thoughts on what a dad needs. And so we took this survey, and we compiled the survey, and we took the top four answers that were given, and I've asked these four gentlemen, these esteemed gentlemen, to speak to these four matters. And so William's going to get us started. William, the first and the highest one that came up on this survey, and this is an official survey, just as good as George Barna and George Gallup and all the rest of them, right? The first one that came up was dads need ongoing encouragement. Talk to us about that one, William.
Mm-hmm. As I was preparing for today's panel, I was, I must say that initially I was struggling with what I would say in the area of encouragement, but I was duly impressed over a couple of days that I would share some of the recent experiences that I have in my life journey. Some of these experiences are, for the most part, surprising, but most of all, they have been, at least for me, very encouraging and timely. So it is my hope that what I share today will be edifying to all of us corporately, but also individually as well. So this one is a little heavy, so hang in there with me. At around the tail end of March last year, I left my day job. Mm. This was after about 5 years of service with a company, which I believe in Bay Area's context could be considered eons of time. I left it not because it was no longer fun for me in terms of what I do, but I have, but rather some aspects of it had increasingly over time became unacceptable, mm-hmm. Or at least in my view were unsustainable. Mm. Yeah, so. Long hours, the constant walking around the clock in three different time zones, if you will. And most importantly, the need to deal with what I would consider at that time, what would be a good word for it, nonsense at the workplace.
Nonsense. My job is nonsense. I like that word. Keep going.
they would consider it, yeah, I would consider them nonsense. And, but basically, it was beginning to take a toll on my health. Mm. And so I left after much prayers and discussion with Melissa. Subsequent to that, I was able to visit my dad and my siblings in Singapore. This is something that I've always wanted to do, but had been unable to do. So it was a lot of fun. We took a trip together as a family. My mom's long passed. So we took a trip with dad in Southeast Asia, and that was all good. And I distinctly remember going to one of the meetings with some close friends that I had when I was younger. I was fully expecting reactions or questions like, you know what, you quit your job? What do you mean you quit your job? Are you out of your mind, you know, in this economy? Are you kidding me? Or something to the effect that, what do you mean you don't have sort of a plan B, you know, which in my profession is considered an unconscionable sin.
Yeah.
So anyways, to my surprise, I didn't get any of those type of questions, but instead, my friends were willing to listen, and they were more interested in the reasons behind it rather than what conventional thinking would have you say and consider. Not that they are not important from a financial standpoint, but they were willing to do just that. Mm. And that to me was so very important at that time. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I was lifted spirit-wise, multifold. Mm.
That's good.
So that's one snapshot, if you will. Fast forward to around August last year. This is when I returned from Singapore, and I had the boys for the full summer. I still distinctly remember that one of the burdens that I have that I believe God had put in my heart, and that is to begin to do more as a father when it relates to the kids' spiritual growth. And so one of the things that I was impressed on to do was to at least get all of us started on our daily quiet time, perhaps as a group. And so that happened. We also started doing bedtime prayers as well. And there were two events that also subsequently lifted me up, and that was when it was one of those series of days, if you will, where nothing really works. You know, I was working on a project at that time, and I felt like I'm stuck in the mud, if you will. And it's getting to a point where it was just very frustrating. And when I picked up the kids from school, one afternoon, I just remember Ashwin, the younger one, was just simply asking me, you know, how was your day? And as simple as it was, a question like that, I found myself not knowing what to say or how to react. It was just amazing. Mm. And a couple of days later, during one of our bedtime prayers, I heard that they were praying for me on their own initiative, without me prompting, that they were praying for my work and also directions. And so at that time, I was going like, wow, this is all worth it. And God is great.
Amen.
Yes.
Let me pick that up, William. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And, you know, what I hear William saying here, first of all, is the matter of empathy. You know what empathy is? Empathy is the ability to get into another person's feelings And I think that he's given us two examples of that. There was first the example of friends and their response to the decision to quit work, to quit the nonsense, and, you know, to see what God was going to do. And the encouragement that just came from their response, and then there's this verbal response, even from the children, that is another way of saying, you know, that we care about what's going on in your life, and just in asking the question, they were being encouraging. It's wonderful. Andrew, take us to the second matter that came up on Dad's Day, on the Man Day. Dads need close friends.
Yeah, so when we got together a couple weeks ago as a panel and decided to take on this task of talking about why men need friends. And I think initially, as men, as even as wives and children, a lot of times when us dads or us men say, you know, we need time with our friends, sometimes that's construed as it's all about me, it's all about Dad, and, you know, what's in it for the kids, what's in it for Mom. I think for me personally, everyone benefits when men have a chance to be together with men. And I think about my life over the last 16 years, 17 years since I've been a believer, and I would say there's times when, you know, maybe over the course of the year I can get together with maybe four or five close friends, you know, not every day, every week, but, you know, maybe once a month. I would always encourage that if you can, because just an hour or two can really be beneficial. And, you know, it's great to get together in groups of three or four, but, you know, it's also really nice to be able to get together one-on-one because you can talk about things, you can be vulnerable. And I think about two characteristics. So I was thinking over the last couple of weeks, and it's happens to be encouragement and humility. Encouragement is basically me saying, wow, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. Whereas humility is, wow, I'm not as good as I think I am. And I think those are two things that they're contrasting, but really so important, you know, when you get together. I think of, you know, David, for example. You know, he was really encouraged by Jonathan. Jonathan really, God put Jonathan in David's life for that purpose. You know, he also put Nathan in David's life to humble him. And as it kind of comes full circle, and how does it relate to me as a man, as a father, as a husband? It really gives me perspective that, you know, we're around as, you know, even if we're not married or if we're married, let's say we're not married and we're around our jobs a lot, or we're married, we're around our wives and our kids, we can also get so much into a routine. And even though we do confide in our spouse, there's certain things that are really beneficial that we can talk about as men and just say, wow, you know, I really need to work on that. And or you need, you know, maybe you should look at it this way. And I always find it really beneficial when I'm talking with a friend and he can tell me, hey, you know, I went through this and this is what I did, as opposed to, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this. And I was always it was always impressed upon me to do the same thing. If I'm maybe, if there's a time when you need to confront or a time when you need to encourage, either way, it's great to be able to, you know, kind of come from it from a personal standpoint and say, you know, this is what happened to me, or this is how I dealt with that. And so I think it really does, having that time with friends, it makes you better. I think it makes me a better husband. It makes me a better dad. And it also, just as a side note, you know, a lot of times, you know, my wife, Mary Kay, she doesn't want to have to tell me, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. But a lot of times when you are with friends, you know, they can say, hey, you know, you might consider this, and then I can do it. And then she's like, hey, wow, I didn't even have to tell you that. You know? So that would just encourage not only the men out here to really consider taking the time, you know, to just spend time with friends, and also just to know that it's not just going to benefit you, it's going to benefit the entire family.
Huh. Andrew, how do you see this verse, Proverbs 27:17, playing out, or has played out in your friendships? Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Wow. I think it just can go verbatim. I think that when, at times when I need encouragement, and times when my friend needs encouragement or friends, it kind of goes both ways. Just that hour, that 2 hours can really make months of differences in my life to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the relationship that we have with other men can happen at deep levels, or it can happen on surface levels. And I think that probably in these iron sharpening iron relationships, we've opened ourselves up in vulnerable ways and helped each other, you know, be able to give that kind of input, I guess you could say, that sort of thing. I always think about, and you mentioned David and Jonathan, but I think about those two as an indication to us men that we actually could have a soul-to-soul relationship. You know, women get this so much better than we do. I mean, at least naturally, they get this so much better than we do. They just tend to get on very personal levels and, you know, share information about one another at deep levels. And it's a lot of times we as men, you know, don't go very far other than the golf scores or whatever, you know, we've talked about. And so to be able to develop that soul-to-soul connection, that kind of a close friendship, is really essential. And I think that's really important that this fact came up, that, you know, on a man day, the second area that came up in the survey was men need close friends. And I think in some ways that probably says that we identify that we don't have the kind of friendships that we need, or on the other hand, maybe we have a few, but we need to work at developing this even more. It's a very important part of our life. So some of it is just the willingness to give a man time to be able to develop those friendships, or men, just to speak to us, taking the time and the effort, making time and effort to develop friendships, because friendships don't happen without time and effort. Well, the third one that came up on the list with regard to what men need, Brad's going to speak to, they need understanding and respect. And we could have made these two different points, but we felt Brad could handle them both, so.
It feels like they are.
Yeah. See, so to share a little bit from your perspective how those fit into a man's life.
Great, thanks. First, I want to say that Andrew and William are new friends of mine. This is in the last couple of years. Both their kids are in a class I teach, so I'm feeling this burden of, you know, I'm helping them out.
What class are you teaching here, Brad?
Fourth and fifth grade.
Fourth and fifth.
So these kids are really sharp, and they've got great dads, it's obvious. And Andrew and I are starting to get to know each other. We haven't gone deep enough yet, so that's next. I want to just acknowledge first that you may not be a dad, and Pastor said this a few times, but we've all had people who are prominent in our lives. And your father may not be prominent even now, but you've had somebody you can encourage who's been a mentor or a teacher or a coach or somebody like that. So keep listening. We're halfway through if you don't have, you know, the dad in your life that you want. But we all have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father. And so we're going to try and give you ideas, but he's the perfect example for us. I want to set that up before I say anything else and you think I'm trying to trump him. But by respecting our fathers, I think we show respect for God, you know, as our Heavenly Father. And there's a symbiotic relationship. When we show respect for God, we're showing respect for our earthly fathers. And when we respect our earthly father, we're kind of following his model and asking that we respect him. But in my own life, respect has looked different as I've grown and matured and become older. My family's grown and matured. You know, as a child, I think the best way I could respect my father was mainly through obedience to him. And I've seen it in my own two children. As they've grown, their main way of showing me respect was through the obedience they showed me. But as a married man, and the old guy on the panel here, I think with regards to my own father and my father-in-law, it gets harder, right? So I think there's kind of three ways that I've tried to show them respect. Spending time with them, seeking their advice. My father-in-law is here, and he's going to talk to me afterwards. He's going to keep me straight. We're having lunch at 1 o'clock. And ensuring that they are well cared for. My own daughters, as they've grown, they're now 31 and 29. I think they continue to demonstrate respect for me by leading lives that bring honor to me. And I'm blessed and grateful that I can say that I think I am respected because they're living lives that they know I would enjoy. These are also just examples of, in our own lives, how we can demonstrate respect for our Heavenly Father. Think about what I just said. Obedience to what God said in His Word. That's how you respect your earthly father. That's how you respect your Heavenly Father. Yeah. Seeking advice from your earthly father. How do you do that? Seeking advice through prayer. And we go to our Heavenly Father for advice. And He's asked us to care for those around us. We need to care for our fathers, especially as they get older and we get older. So I think there's a real parallel here with our earthly fathers and our heavenly fathers. As far as understanding goes, you know, fathers are no different than anybody else. Don't we all want to be understood? You know, seek to be understood, understand each other. But it can only happen when we really take the time to get to know someone. So I don't really understand Andrew very well. He loves basketball. We went to a Golden State Warriors game this year. But as I get to know him better, maybe I'm going to understand him better. So I think we need to take the time to get to understand our fathers and those in our life so we can understand who they are. But, you know, as Dave said, you have to walk a mile in their shoes. You have to be empathetic what they do. My kids, when they were younger, I don't think they had any idea what it was like for a dad, right? They were young. How can I expect them to respect and understand me if they can't empathize with me? In Proverbs 24:3, one of the verses, I don't know if we have it up there, it says, it shows us that understanding makes a home strong and successful. I think it says understanding a house is established. Yeah. I take that to mean strong and successful. And it begins with all of us at home understanding each other, appreciating one another, getting to know each other by kind of living life together, not separately, so we can build those strong relationships. A couple examples. Christy and Amy and I and Megan can tell you things about me now, and I believe they love me more today than yesterday because they understand me better today and they know me on a different level. And believe me, that took work. It took intentional time to get to know me. And I guess for me as a father, I had to make the intentional time or they wouldn't get to know me. So my challenge is, if you want to get to know the Father in your life, spend intentional time with Him. In our family, it looked like breakfast, carpools, the club volleyball tournaments. I was the first one to volunteer. I wanted to be with them. One-on-one dates with Dad, vacations, or where we spend intentional time together. And you know, it's the same thing with God, right? If you're going to get to know Him, you have to be intentional about your prayer time. You've heard that today from William. Intentional time studying His Word, observing how He's working in your life. Step back a little bit. Look like it's a movie. You know, what's God doing in my life? To better understand how you can strengthen your relationship with Him. He may not need anything from us, but He certainly desires a relationship with us, and it begins with understanding who He is. That's where the Malachi passage comes in. Malachi 1:6 says, when you read that passage, you can see that God needs to be respected and given respect. And I think it's interesting. This comes at near the end of the Old Testament, where He's saying, my people don't respect me, but they should. You can feel the emotions coming through the pages. Go read Malachi this afternoon. As men created in God's image, we need the same respect. We have the same need. But unlike God, who in Himself deserves respect as the Almighty Creator of the universe, we can't demand respect as fathers. I think that's probably the worst thing we could do. Respect is earned, isn't it? So our families really don't know all that fathers go through in their vocational jobs. So here's an example. My kids can't understand the stress and the anxiety that may go along with my job, the nonsense, right, that William referred to. As we seek to be good providers in this fast-paced world, they can't understand that. And I know my children and Christy really didn't care about the size of my paycheck or whether it could provide for the necessities of life or maybe the niceties of life. They really cared about two things, but I think. Now, as adults, I think they care about the same two things. And I would say this is the way a father can earn respect. And I think with a friend, it's the same way for you. They care that I'm there. I didn't know what Dave was going to read from Max Lucado when I put this down, but they care that I'm there. T-H-E-R-E. Not that I'm their dad, but I'm there. I'm present. I can keep my commitment to be there consistently and make a priority to be there in their lives, regardless of my other pressures, regardless of my schedule. I made them the priority. I think that's what's counted. And secondly, that I'm present. Not that I bring them presents, but I'm present. P-R-E-S-E-N-T. I don't think gifts matter. I think being present. And I've had my kids tell me, you're not here, Dad. You're physically here. So really, am I engaged with them? Am I listening to them? Am I talking to them? Am I encouraging them? Am I participating in their lives? So for a dad, I think it's to be there and to be present. You know, for the games, for the performances, for the bedtime stories, for the help with homework. And no doubt, then I think as fathers, we can start to earn respect. And it's only then are we worthy of respect that comes with the title dad. And if you want to help the dad in your life, I'd say start by giving him the respect, whether it's earned or not earned. And maybe it's not your dad, but maybe it's another person in your life. And see how encouraged he is from that. And when he's encouraged, you just might find a whole new start and a whole new dimension to the relationship, and you'd start to understand one another better.
Wow, there's so much there we can follow up on, Brad. I think about the respect part of it, and I'm sure some of you in your mind are thinking about this too, the difference between the position, respecting the position, and respecting the person. And how does that play out? And that would lead to some good conversations. Yeah. I would encourage you to think about that aspect of it. But also, just with regard to the understanding peace and forgiveness and grace and all the rest of that. And, one of the things that came up in the survey, too, was we need forgiveness. And we need people to understand that we're not perfect. And we need to understand that we're not perfect as well. And so when things don't go well, it's that desire to give the person the gift of understanding so that in this process, this respect can grow and there could be a deeper relationship. So there's so much there.
Yeah, one thing I'd add is that probably as a dad, you can get pretty much hung up on your position and saying, I'm right.
Yeah.
And in those times when I've said, gee, it doesn't really matter. If I understand that I had a part in this and I asked them to forgive me, changes everything.
That does.
Because we're always asking them to say they're sorry, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Growing up, figured out you screwed up and you're sorry. Say, I was wrong. I didn't do it. I didn't handle this well. It's changed.
And everything. For a dad to admit that I was wrong, that is huge. Yeah, those are some of the words that I've used many times. Yes. Scott, talk about the fourth area that came up in this survey was dads need time to refresh. You look very refreshed today.
Thank you. Refresh. So on my sheet, I had nap or golf.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's why I can comment.
Being interpreted.
So, this is something that I think especially for dads, we end up with so much responsibility. God calls us obviously to lead our families in all that the Lord wants us to have. And that goes along with work, goes along with family responsibilities, it goes along with service. The list that I had last 6 months has been just really long. And in doing so, you want to do that. You want to have the things that you're supposed to be doing. You want to do the things that you're supposed to be doing. And yet in all of that, you end up in a place where it's hugely stressful. And for those that know me, stress for me, it comes out really in an ugly fashion. It comes out me being short, impatient, forgetful. Brad, you talk about being there. I'm completely not there. Working with the nonsense, we're neglecting time with friends. All of these things go along because of the things or the responsibilities that I have to have as a father and as a leader in the household. And so for me in particular, I need time away to really refresh myself in order for me to allow me to get to the things that I need to get done. I'm much more efficient that way. I'm much more personable in that way. And I think that, especially for me, when you do all the personality typing stuff, I'm an introvert, contrary to maybe some of you guys might think. It's not so much the ability to speak in public. It really is, when you do that speaking, do you lose energy or do you gain energy? And I am a loss of energy person. So at the end of whatever the things that are going on, I'm losing energy and losing energy and losing energy and losing energy. And I need to refresh and regain that energy and time away. So, you know, for me, I know what I need to do, but I also have the, it's important for me to be given permission to spend time away to be recharged. And in some cases, you know, Dave said, oh, you know, you look pretty refreshed. I actually played a round of golf yesterday. So I did get that in. But it, you know what it does? You know, people, oh, you know, you waste your time doing that. You know what? For me personally, it's a way for me to relax, to gain back that energy, and then enables me to do the things or the areas that I need to be responsible for much, much better.
It's really good. Let's go get refreshed. What do you say? All of us.
Yeah. Dave, let's go play.
I'm ready. But, you know, I think about this in light of just different emotional tanks or just tanks that are a part of our life. So you've got the emotional tank and the physical tank and the relational tank and the spiritual tank. And these tanks can tank. We can deplete those resources in these various tanks that we have. And we have to find ways to fill those tanks back up. And, you know, one of the ways that the Lord, for instance, filled up Elijah was he said, get some sleep. And that was filling up his physical, emotional tank. And I think the spiritual piece was connected to that. And so those of us that are running ragged, you know, and we've watched the tanks deplete, and there is no infusion coming back into these tanks, some kind of replenishment, we're probably in trouble. So I think it's really important to pay attention to the people in our life and how do they get replenished? What is it that they need? So Bernice often says to me, you know, get out there and play some golf, because for me that is a replenisher, believe it or not. I know for some of us that would be like the last thing. For Bernice, golfing is the last thing. Are you kidding? She tried that once and said, I'll never do this again. Why would I? But for others of us, good perspective there, Scott.
Yeah. You want to do our verse? Or,
sure, you got a verse on this?
Well, this is the Matthew 6:31.
This is the biblical justification for what you're doing, right?
Yeah, biblical verse for golf. I think it's Matthew 6:31. I don't, you know what, I don't know.
Mark chapter 6?
Oh, Mark, sorry. It's not Mark.
There it is.
Matthew. Thank you. Yeah, you know, this one here, when I was looking at it, the context of this is really interesting because it was just after Jesus sent out the 12. So they were out on ministry on their own in areas that were challenging, I'm sure far beyond what they thought they could handle, you know, and doing things that were important, obviously, for the ministry, but were really challenging, I think. And for them, you know, after that, they came back. And they were still trying to do the ministry stuff. And then you can see that it says, because there were so many people coming, right? And Jesus recognized, you know what? These guys are not going to be very effective unless they went ahead and got some rest. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, you know, and notice that it's not by themselves. This is actually with themselves as a group, which is really interesting, I thought. Being able to take the 12 and go away. There's something really special, I think Andrew brought it up, about having close friends, and William mentioned it as well, is that time to connect with those that are closest to you and to be able to refresh was really, really important. After this, right, they go on, they do some really amazing things, you know, a ministry. But it's that valley that they're in because of their energy that they replenish to get up to that point where they can do good things.
Mm-hmm. Well, here they are then, the top four that were shared at Man Day. And I think probably many of us would have said, yeah, these seem to be the ones that should come to the top of the list of what a man needs, what a dad needs. He needs ongoing encouragement. I don't think any one of us, quite frankly, could get enough of that. And the scripture obviously suggests that one of the reasons we get together is so that we can encourage one another, especially in light of the fact that this day that we live in is getting harder to live in. So we need ongoing encouragement. We can continue to do that for everybody. We need close friendships. We all need that, don't we? We need understanding and respect. And, you know, the Bible just puts this in the perspective of honor, honoring one another, or to honor one another. And we need time to refresh. We need to be able to, you know, the Lord obviously God in his plan in Genesis, and there was evening and there was morning, and there was this rest time that was there, and we could run ourselves crazy if we don't plan that into our schedules. So thank you so much for taking the time, all four of you. We really appreciate it. Can you give them a hand this morning and say thanks so much? Amen. And let me just say this, and Brad said it already, but I'll just repeat it as well. You know, the number one thing that we need is we need a relationship with God. And God has made that possible through Jesus Christ, his Son. And the whole Bible is a story of redemption, of all that God has done from the beginning to the end to make it possible for us to have an eternal relationship with him. And so you go all the way back in the beginning where man blew it, fell into sin, deliberately sinned, and God since that time has been seeking a relationship with us and making the relationship possible, and we've gone our own way, but he still invites us to come into that relationship. And if you've never come into the relationship, we offer that to you this morning because that's the number one thing that we need. Galatians says, having begun by the Spirit, do you think that you're going to be perfected by the flesh? And of course, the answer is no, it's just not going to happen through human effort. We're going to be able to get somewhere down the road, but we are never going to be the people that God wants us to be, supernaturally changed, without the work of God in and through us on a daily basis, moment by moment. And so we recognize that, the importance of dependent upon God, and we invite you into that relationship. If you've never come to faith in Christ, speak to one of us, or even right now, we'll just pray together. Ask the Lord to become the Lord of your life and to begin to change you. Well, let's just pray together. Father, thank you for the encouragement this morning through these men. And we just give you praise because we know that you are the Father of fathers, that you are the Heavenly Father who makes relationships possible and who designed family and gives children as gifts, and all of that is from you. We recognize that. We want to walk in your ways. We want to please and honor you. We want to demonstrate respect to you. We want to walk in your will. And we pray that even in doing that, we might, not only as we love you, but demonstrate that love for you to others as we love others. Thank you. Today, we can just take a few moments to think about how we can love fathers better than we do right now. And for some of us, that's going to be really hard because of the father that we had. But Lord, may we ultimately look to you as the Father of fathers. May we look to you and please you. And may we live out in your strength and your will. And if our Father has failed us, may we live in light of the fact that you never will, that your loving kindnesses are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We pray for anybody who's here that has not yet come into that relationship with you, that today might even be the day that they would receive you as Savior and Lord. We ask, God, that as a result of you in our lives, that our lives would be different. So give us even today opportunities to demonstrate love to others, especially to fathers. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, thanks. We're going to continue our worship with a song that I think we all know. And so let's continue to worship the Lord this morning.